Welcome back. You are listening to Sharp Elbows. I am Francesca Hong. We are taking a bit of a, I can't believe I'm about to say this, pivot from the usual kind of sharp elbow jabs and discussing identity, solidarity with in solidarity to find solutions, as well as we have some special guests here, my sister Terry Lindenbaum and her grandparents Manny and Annabelle Lindenbaum. It is the first day of Passover, and so I wanted to speak with y'all about just kind of reflecting on current events and also talking about identity. So before the break, Annabelle, I know that you wanted to speak a little bit more about the dangers of bystanding, and I was hoping that you could tell us a little bit more about, well, you know, your experience and your reaction to you know, what happened in Atlanta and Colorado and what seems to be a simmering culture of hate that has existed for a while, but it's enlightening to know that there are people who really do see solutions to this. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I taught elementary education for a long time, and I think one of my favorite pictures or commercials I've ever seen is a black little girl and a white little girl standing together and wearing the same shoes and saying, "We're twins." Now, children don't see color, children don't see identity, they see friendship. And I think we need to take a little talk from them. People I see, I think, want to, quote, do the right thing. I don't know if they know how. Manny says stand up. And I really believe that, yeah, in theory, that sounds, what do I do? And I'm very unlike me. And I think it was right after 9/11 when the world was turned upside down in America for the first time, really. And I was in a supermarket and I saw a Muslim woman. And what possessed me, I have no idea. And I walked up to her and I said, "Can I give you a hug?" It came out of the blue. The two of us hugged. We cried. We didn't have to say anything. It was just an expression of, you and me, we're the same. And maybe something small like that is a stepping stone. Sure, going to demonstrations and speaking out with plaques and writing your congresspeople. But I think sometimes we need to start out small. Touch a neighbor somehow. Touch someone who doesn't look like you. I am a privileged white. I get that. And yet I've had anti-Semitic things said to me in different subtle ways. I think we really need to look at little pieces and big pieces. Look at big pieces. I know I'm active in my federation group, and I've said, you know, we have to XXX. They say, well, you know, we really want to get involved. The other one says, well, yeah, how can we do it on a smaller scale? And will it make any difference? So I think all these little pieces have to be filled in that, yes, it will make a difference. And B, it doesn't have to be on a 1,000-to-1 basis. It could be a one-on-one. And you do have to empathize with the person that what you're going through is what I can go through. My black friend used to say to me, "You never gave your boys the talk, did you? What are you talking about?" Well, obviously, I know about that now. So I think we really have to extend ourselves in any plane we can. If you're in a group, speak out of the group. It might not be on the agenda, but say, "Hey, you know what's going on in the world right here in our town and the next town, and it doesn't have to be so far. What can we do to bridge that little gap?" And I think those are things that are really important, because I wish I could control all the guns off the street. I can't do that, but I can speak up about other things, smaller things. And I can also say, I'm with you because I have children, I have grandchildren, I don't have great grandchildren. I don't want any of them to be persecuted or ridiculed or anything. I want them to know that they are just like the child next to you. And maybe, I don't know, I think we all need to be very creative in how we can stand up, make our voices heard in a big way, in a small way, in a medium way, and be catalysts. And that's really where I think I'm coming from right now.
The biggest trauma of my life, and when we in America were separating little kids from their parents at the border in Mexico, it was so traumatic to me, because when we were chased across the border and we lived without lights, toilets, or anything else. That wasn't the horror for this little kid, because my mother and father and sister and brother were there. The real horror was separation. And when we separate kids, the trauma that comes from that doesn't go away in 6 months or a year. In many instances, it lasts a lifetime. And that my country was actually separating kids from their parents was such a horror to me. And it made me more active. In 1938, when we were chased across the border, we were helped by a Jewish organization, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society. And today, I'm active with them as they're helping the kids and the adults on the borders and all over the world. And we need to do more of that. But, you know, reaching out. If you ask me, what is the biggest memory of somebody helping? Well, I was a real troubled kid even when I reached freedom, when I got to England. I was in trouble all the time. I couldn't find myself. And the vicar's wife, the wife of the minister, she heard about me. And she reached out and she made such a difference in my life. And she did that for a whole bunch of people, which I found out later. And I often think of her, you know, like 80 years later, which is so when it comes to kids and they're separated, we have an obligation to reach out to them, and it doesn't have to. Kids can do the reaching out. Adults can do the reaching out. All of us can, and we can make such a huge difference in people's lives by reaching out to them personally, and just give them a little understanding and a little friendship.
Manny, so many folks after crisis and in trying to figure out how to process, you know, the question always comes up, well, what do we do? What should I do? How can I be an ally? And oftentimes that feels like for the people where, you know, it hits personally, it sounds so much like a burden having to, you know, when you're having trouble navigating the crisis yourself to try to help others in that. But it's that extra push, that compassion, that wanting and need to be empathetic, that really is what is going to get us through times of crises and times where it feels like hate is winning. Because the reality is it feels like that when our news, when the media and the news and everything that you hear is, you know, feels like it's terrible all the time and you feel powerless. We find strength and solidarity with one another in building relationships and exactly what you said, reaching out, not being a bystander, and really speaking up in spaces that you don't always think about needing to speak up in. It could be an interpersonal conversation. It can be in the workplace. It can be in a boardroom. It's not just, you know, screaming out to the voids of social media. That connection that we find with one another, I think working on that really is a way for all of us to agree can be a step in the direction of progress, in finding a little bit of that hope and in reaching out and taking time to let someone else know that you are thinking of them. And in strengthening those ties is really, I think, how we're going to move forward. And so I truly appreciate you sharing that insight and really giving us this perspective of how important it is to understand what reaching out means and the power of it.
You know, there was a one of the refugee groups that were bringing people into whatever community, they said, if you hit Amazon, this family of five people hit Amazon. And it was like, oh, I ordered a couple of things and thinking, you know, this is a nothing. This is a no-brainer that people can do. You're helping someone. You don't need accolades. They don't even know who you are, but you've sent something over that everybody needs in their house. Mm. Simple as that. They need shirt. They need new masks. They need whatever. That's a simple thing.
Yeah. It is. It's sometimes in the simple things that we have to rely kind of to build back the an understanding and care that we need in community. Y'all, you are listening to Sharp Elbows. I am joined by the amazing Terry Lindenbaum, Manny Lindenbaum, and Annabelle Lindenbaum. We're talking about care. We're talking about moving forward. We're talking about reaching out and taking care of one another in times of crises. So taking a pause from the politics for a moment, but we'll be back. Again, you're listening to Sharp Elbows. This is State Rep Hong.